Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
It is a joy and it is a blessing from God to be able to take time to open our Bibles, to study His Word, and that's what this portion of our worship is set aside for. You and I have gathered here this morning to give praise and honor and glory to the God of heaven, which He truly deserves. And God has expressed to us His desire that we worship Him in various ways, through the singing of our songs, the praying of our prayers, the remembering of the Son in the body and the blood that we did just a moment ago, and also in our giving, as we also have done a moment ago. As we approach God's Word, we recognize that there are so many valuable and wonderful lessons to be contained in God's Word. The prophets of the Old Testament were very colorful in their way of expressing God's message to those people. Just a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, I preached a sermon from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. And God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and observe the potter as he would make something at the wheel. If you go to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is told to lie upon one side for a period of time and then to do other things. Each of the prophets had a very vivid way of trying to express God's truth to the people. I want to take you back about 2,800 years to the cooking of the daily bread. I want you to visualize in your mind, and there's a picture before you, of a woman who would go out and gather some wood and some coals together and build a fire. She would build that fire under a stone, and that stone would heat to the point where it would be capable of cooking. This woman would take some flour, some water, and knead it together and mix it together, pat it out into something the size of a little bit larger than a pancake. She would place that dough on top of that stone and cook it. When it got to a certain temperature and a certain level of doneness, just like the ladies today would cook pancakes, flip it over and cook it on the other side. And what you see her cooking on that stone right in front of you is what you need to visualize as we study Hosea chapter 7 and verse 8. Hosea needed to communicate a message of concern for the influence of worldliness among God's people. The world had infected, had influenced, had just really overtaken God's people. This morning, I'd like to look at three things in this context with you. Number one, I want us to look, first of all, at the historical background. There's a lot in this, and I'm going to take some time. I'm going to go slowly, if you will. I want to encourage you to follow along with me. I want you to open your Bibles with me as well, because there are going to be some places where you will need to read a verse or two before, a verse or two after, to be able to grasp the meaning of what all is going on here. Number two, I want to look at hearing the lesson. Now, I know that there are some people at this present time who are hearing my voice, but they're not hearing what I'm saying. There are times when someone is speaking. Maybe you've been in a classroom, the teacher is speaking. You're hearing the voice, but you're not listening. I want us to hear the lesson that is presented. And then number three, to heed the message that is contained therein. If you will, let's begin by understanding the background. Let's delve into the book of Hosea and see the background behind it. The first thing to notice is that Hosea is a prophet to the northern kingdom at the same time that Isaiah and Micah are prophets to the southern kingdom. Micah was sent to the common man. Isaiah was sent to the rulers. And you have, at that period of time, Ahaz, Hezekiah, who were the kings. If you go to the northern kingdom, they're sometimes referred to as Israel, and the south referred to as Judah. Sometimes the north is referred to as Samaria. And quite often in the book of Hosea, they're referred to as Ephraim, one of the larger northern tribes. So you understand what is going on. He's speaking to the people. We're talking about sometime roughly 730 to 722 B.C. I want you to picture that in your mind. He was calling God's people at the very last hours of their life as a nation. It's not going to be but just a few years. And if you will, just picture with me someone who is going to the top of a mountain. He is approaching a cliff, and it's just about to the point where he's reached the precipice, and he's about to fall off. The children of Israel here are almost near the cliff. They're about ready to fall off as a nation. And that's what he's talking to. Now the question is, why are they very near the end as a nation? Well, Hosea is going to tell us. He is going to make some very serious charges. Now let me illustrate this to you for just a moment. Let's say someone comes to Bobby Branch here and says, I need to speak to you people. Okay, what do you have to say? I want to tell you that as a congregation, you're very near the end. You think everything's all right, but you're very near to falling off. And you say, well, you made a pretty serious charge. What kind of charge do you have to suggest that that's the case? Well, let's let Hosea tell us why the northern kingdom, the children of Israel, are in the condition they're in. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings His charges against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, lying, killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. I want you to notice the charge. There's no truth. Nobody is telling the truth. Nobody's honest with anybody. There is no mercy. No one is showing any compassion to anybody else. You don't care, just like in the parable of the Good Samaritan, someone is beaten and robbed. Let's just drive right on by. Or knowledge of God in the land. People are no longer religious. Well, what's going on? He said they're swearing. Let me ask you a question. Does this sound a little bit like us today in our country? Swearing? I can remember a time when the infamous movie, The Gone with the Wind, and there was one four-letter word said, and everybody went, oh, I can't believe that they used that four-letter word in that movie. Today, there are rarely any movies that are not just peppered all the way through with swearing. Lying. Do people have any problem of lying to you, to the government, to anyone else? Is not lying just a very common characteristic? Killing. You see people's lives being taken for a few dollars on the streets of just about any city in the United States. Stealing. Committing adultery. And what he's saying is, do you realize where you are at? You go a little bit further to chapter 5 and verse 11. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by a human precept. Willingly walked by a human precept. The northern kingdom was much more concerned with what man might be able to say on a subject than what God had to say on it. That's the reason why there was no knowledge of God in the land. You've got a problem. To whom are you going to go? Who are you going to seek for advice, for direction? Are you going to read the Bible and try to find the answer there? Chapter 6, verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like the morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. Visualize, you get up in the morning and there's fog. Long about 8:30 and 9 o'clock, the sun comes out, and immediately the fog disappears. Or you get up on a summer morning and you walk out early in the morning and the grass is wet, the dew is on the grass, and yet then the sun comes out and immediately dries. He said, that's the way your faithfulness is. Visualize just a few years ago. September the 10th, 2001. What were the majority of the people doing on September the 10th, 2001? They were going about their life in just all sorts of ways, all sorts of things going on. Then on the morning of September the 11th, 2001, those planes crash into the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center in New York City, and into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. And immediately the psyche of the nation is shaken. And what happens is people start flooding into church buildings. People start praying. And for a few months, churches had full attendance. Their pews were filled. Fast forward now, about 6 years. Where are those same people then? Well, no longer are they afraid anymore because they've forgotten. You see, their loyalty and their faithfulness was so shallow, or as described here by Hosea, it was just like the morning cloud or the dew. It goes away so quickly. One of the most serious charges relates to the infection of worldliness. Now, I don't know if many of you have had an infection this year, a physical one of your body. I can tell you that it can produce all sorts of maladies in your system. You can have a stomach virus and you can just be so sick you feel like you can't stand up. You can have another kind of infection that attacks your respiratory system. You can have another kind that attacks your bloodstream. It is so serious. Let me tell you the seriousness of the infection of worldliness. In chapter 7, verses 8 through 11, he's going to talk about how that they had mixed themselves among the people. The word mixed there is a real interesting word. It's the word, for instance, when a woman would take the flour and the water and would mix it together and to knead it, to make it into something to cook, because he's going to use the phrase, a cake not turned. Nehemiah chapter 13 will describe how this took place. The leaven, or the influence, led them away from God. I want you to just visualize, if you will, here are the people of God. Here are the people of the world. And they've been brought together and they've been mixed. They've been kneaded. And they've been now placed on this stone to cook. And God said, you are a cake not turned. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it yet. Gray hairs upon him here and there, and yet he does not know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face. But they did not return to the Lord their God, nor seek Him for all of this. Ephraim is like a silly dove without sense that called to Egypt. They go to Assyria. You see, the problem that has developed is among them is When they've got a problem, let's go to Assyria and seek our help. No, we've got another problem. Let's go down to Egypt and seek help. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Now, how does that influence them? We'll go to Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 through 25. In those days, I saw also the Jews who had married the women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And half their children spoke the language of Ashdod, and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language or one of other of the people. So I contended with them and cursed them and struck some of them and pulled out their hair and made them swear by God, saying, "You shall not give your daughters as wives for their sons, nor take their daughters as what for your sons or for yourselves." I want you to visualize, here's what God said for the children of Israel. Don't intermarry with the people of the land. But they did. They married the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, and the Moabites. And when they did, they got to the point where they could only speak the language of the people that they had married. Now, we've had a lot of visitors to our country, some of them illegal. And many of those who have visited our country do not speak English, but they speak Spanish. Now I want you to visualize, here is a young man who marries a young woman. And the young man speaks only Spanish. The young woman speaks English. And then they have children. And that child comes along, and that child can only speak Spanish, cannot speak English at all. And grandma and grandpa want to be able to communicate with this little grandchild. That grandchild can't speak English. I want you to imagine, here are the people of God who speak Hebrew. Here are the people of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And what has happened? The influence of these ungodly people were so strong that it drove out and replaced the goodness in God's people. You start seeing now the background of how significant this is with what is being said by Hosea. So you go and now you have to hear the lesson. Is there a lesson in this? Is there something to learn? Most certainly there is. They were overdone on the side of the world, but they were wrong on the side of God. Imagine you, some of your mothers who cook pancakes. You mix up your batter and you pour it in the skillet and you start cooking it. And on one side you get it just perfectly done, but you leave it there. And you cook it a little more, you cook it a little more until you've almost got it burnt on that side. But the other side is raw. When it comes to the side of evil, the children of Israel were a cake not turned. Are we? Are we a cake not turned? Have we allowed the world to impact our service toward God? I want to ask some specific questions in this regard. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. Will the God bring a charge against us? Have we allowed ourselves to be more impressed with what men say than what God says? Are our studies, and I'm talking about our Bible class time, our pulpit time, is it overdone on pop psychology, which is what's the rage in the world today? Self-help, how that we can help ourselves? Humor, personal interest stories than on Scripture? Do we put a greater emphasis on, let's hear what somebody else thinks on this passage, what somebody over here thinks, rather than what on God says? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, get on the internet and search for sermons today and listen to some of them. You're lucky if you will have 1 to 2 scriptures in a 30-minute sermon. Most of them are not 30 minutes. And you're going to find out that today most of the lessons are real heavy on these things because we're concerned with what man says, not what God says. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I will reject you from being priest for me because you have forgotten the law of God. I will also forget your children. We can be destroyed because of what we do not know. Chapter 5, verse 13, we've already made a point that he was willingly walked by human precept. Verse 13, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jerob. Yet he cannot cure you nor heal you of your wound. The world cannot save you. It's God's Word, James chapter 1, that can save you. Have we allowed ourselves to modify our worship to please ourselves rather than God? In Hosea chapter 13, verse 2, chapter 7, verse 2, is our worship determined by the sincere desire to please God or an appeal to the senses of man? Now, you say, well, I think we're trying to please God. Let me ask you a question. The songs that you like that we sing, why do you like them? Now, I've asked myself this question. The songs that we really like, do we like it because of the catchy tune or because of the words that are contained in the song? Do we allow ourselves to do that? Listen to Hosea chapter 13, verse 2. Now they sin more and more and have made for themselves molded images, idols of silver according to their skill, according to the work of their craftsmen. They say of them, let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves. They made what they wanted. Chapter 7, they do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. These people are not looking at the fact God looks and sees. He knows what's going on among them. Now, number three is heeding the message. If I see the historical background and I hear the lesson of chapter 7 and verse 8, not to be a cake unturned, is it possible that we've allowed ourselves to be influenced by the world that we no longer see it? Now, before I can make a change in my life, I have to see where I'm wrong. In chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, the verses that follow, aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and there on him, yet he does not know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face. The past couple of weeks, I have been scanning some old photos. And in doing so, whenever I have a little time, I'll do so. One of the things that shocks me is just a few years ago, I bring up a picture and Tony has dark hair. Now, I walk and I look in the mirror in the morning and I realize that hair is not dark anymore. Some people 5 years ago, 10 years ago were active and dedicated and loyal and involved in the service of the Lord. And now they're sitting back and they're not waiting on the table anymore. And I'm not talking about people who are physically no longer able. But I'm talking about people who once were active and involved in the work of the church. Now they're not doing that anymore. What happened? Just like the hairs on my head, they slowly started turning gray to the point that I don't notice it day by day, but you look here and you look there and you can see a big difference. Look at your life then and look at your life now. Is there a big difference? Have you changed? Has worldliness slowly but surely infected your life and changed you to something that you ought not be? But this people, this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes. They are in hidden in prison houses. They are for prey and no one delivers. for plunder, and no one says restore. Who among you will give ear to this? And who will listen and hear for the time to come? The question is, when you see this, is there anybody going to say, restore? Well, that's what I am here for. I'm here to tell you that if your life is not right and you've been plundered by the world, it's time for a restoration. Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord, He against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in His ways, nor were they obedient to His laws. Therefore He poured out on him the fury of His anger and the strength of the battle. It has set him on fire all around, yet he did not know, and it burned him, yet he did not take it to heart. God said, look at all what happened. He said, these people didn't listen. They didn't heed. They didn't take it to heart. Israel was called upon to return to God. When we realize we have allowed the world to infect us, God says, come out. Notice these three verses here. Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord and say to Him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifice of our lips. He says, when you need to return to God, take words with you. What kind of words is the words of our lips? Go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry for what I have done. Chapter 14, verse 9. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Chapter 18, 4 of Revelation. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. We've got to come out from the world. We must be careful lest we allow the world to influence us and we become like the world. And I want to tell you, that's a bigger danger than I think we realize. Just like them, God wants purity among His people today. He looked at Israel and He sent Hosea the prophet to call these people, to beg these people. God looks at us and He begs with us and He pleads with us to be faithful to Him. If you're not ready to meet the Lord right now, if you're not a Christian, Jesus is calling you to become a Christian by faith, repentance, confession, and being baptized. If you are a child of God and worldliness has infected you and taken you over, you know that. Now is the time for you.